And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. Hey, if you've got any questions, send those to me at askandy@luinc.com. By the same token, tell me how your year's been. I'm real curious to hear how everybody is doing out there because, wow, another year's gone by. Did the end of the year sneak up on you? You know, I saw it coming and suddenly it was there. Bam. And here we are. And maybe more importantly now is not so much the prior year and the fact that the end of the current year is here, but are you ready for the next one? Because it's starting real soon. And thinking of next year, how are things looking? What is the outlook for real estate investing? And that's what I want to start with, just to lay some groundwork with you. And then I want to help get you ready for the coming year. And if you're new to the show, let me underscore the fact that the real estate investors that I know at Lifestyles Unlimited, these are just normal, regular people, but they are out there doing awesome things in the residential real estate space. They're creating wealth. They're building wealth for their family, for future generations. They're creating passive income. They are attaining financial freedom. They're becoming real estate retired. And if you too are looking to add, let's just say, some extra cash flow to your family coffers every month, this is the place to do it. You can create, let's say you buy one single family rental house, you can create an additional $200 to $600 a month in net positive cash flow. That's what you're keeping in just one house. Or you can invest passively in apartments, by the way, if you're not interested in the rental house thing. We focus on both of those asset classes at Lifestyles Unlimited, but you create that passive income, and then you double that number over time to, let's say, $1,000 or maybe $2,000 a month, and that's life-changing. That's life-changing, but then you go a little bit farther. Eventually, you do get to financial freedom. And by the way, that just means I have enough passive income coming in every month that I meet or exceed my household expenses. That's it. Once you hit that point, do you have to work to cover those expenses? You decide. Of course, by the way, we're not just creating cash flow. We make money five ways on those single family houses, six ways on apartments: equity capture, equity buildup, appreciation, tax advantages. And we go into more detail into those in other shows. I want to save those for another time. Because the question is it going to be a good time in the coming year to be a real estate investor? And again, thinking specifically about houses and apartments. And to answer this question, I read through, I talk to a lot of people all the time, so I've got my finger on the pulse here. I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth, by the way, if you are new to the show, but we invest across the country. And I read through, I don't know, it was probably 8 or 10 industry reports recently, and I keep coming back to one that I really like, referenced in years prior, both in terms of their detail and the presentation. So I'm going to run with this one in particular, but there was a lot of overlap across all of the reports that I read. And the one I'm looking at in particular, this is PricewaterhouseCoopers and the Urban Land Institute. It's their 2025 Emerging Trends in Real Estate. And I like this one. It's been around a long time. This is, I think, the 46th or maybe the 48th edition. And it focuses across all of the real estate investing spectrum, but it focuses just on the U.S. and Canada. There are a lot of things out there that talk international and what's going on in Europe and Australia. But we're focused right here. Live where you want, invest where it makes sense, but we are staying within the borders of the United States. But I just want to lead with what they led with. Simply put, they said, "The time has come." I'm going to quote them here. "We are on the cusp of the next upturn in the real estate cycle, and now is the time to be thinking about planning, laying the groundwork for the next 2 to 3 years of growth." So think about that. The time has come. It has been a little wonky in the apartment industry. Housing is, single family housing is a little bit odd market right now as well, with lack of inventory and everything else that's going on. But the time has come. We are on the cusp of the next upturn. Do you want to be riding that wave up. Absolutely you do. And even if we've turned the corner and we are climbing, you still want to get in. No matter where we are, you know, as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited, it doesn't matter if we're up, if we're down in the market, we're always buying because we've learned how to buy right. And what's interesting, over its 30-plus year term as an education and mentoring group, Lifestyles Unlimited has really grown. And although it was founded in Texas, in Houston, came up to Dallas, where I am, Austin, you know, Central Texas, all of Texas, we're now across the nation. And I tell you this because there's an interesting graph in this PricewaterhouseCoopers report. I'm going to jump to this here. It's the demographics, they call it, steering real estate markets in 2025 and beyond. And I want you to think about this because there are, all real estate is local. And there are markets where it does make sense to invest, and there are markets where it doesn't. This is a really nice graph. The highlights of it are simply this. There's a lot of migration across the United States, in migration, right, staying within the borders of the U.S., and a lot of strong migration occurring in places like Charlotte, North Carolina, Myrtle Beach, Raleigh-Durham, Nashville, Tennessee, all places where we have a realty team. It says prior strong migration markets, but are now moderating, but still positive. Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, right? Austin and Phoenix are on the positive side. Indianapolis, I have a few passive apartment investments up there. All of these markets are good places to think about, and it's good information for me as I'm considering the coming year and where do I want to park my funds when it comes time to invest in more real estate. Where are some of the bad places? Denver, Philadelphia, Portland, sound like the coasts. Now, they're looking at everything. They're looking at retail. They're looking at commercial in the sense of, you know, industrial, that sort of thing. They're looking at a multifamily, and they do look at single family as well. But their overall real estate prospects, places to be, you know, the markets to watch, number one on the list, my market, my home market, which is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Number three, Houston. Well, we grew up there. That's where Lifestyles Unlimited was founding. Good place to be. I cannot tell you the volume of single family investment opportunities I see coming out of that market. It is huge, great cash flow, huge equity plays in that market right now. Nashville, Tennessee. We have realty in Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee in particular. They don't mention Knoxville. It's a little bit of a smaller market, or Chattanooga. Places to be as well. Atlanta, Georgia. I get emails all the time from the realty team there. Great numbers as well. Phoenix, Arizona, we have a brick Sticks and Bricks office there. San Antonio, another place. So I'm beating a dead horse here. All of these markets are markets where we participate. There are a number of others as well. And we're just talking about fundamentals here. And to take it one step farther, it's the migration that's occurring into these places. It's the population growth. And again, I like this study because of the way they've organized it is very easy for me to read anyhow. A little bit farther down the line, they talk about different categories of markets. And the very tip top this coming year, as it was in the past, are the markets that they define as the super Sun Belt. They are expecting for these markets a population growth of 6.2%. This is from 2023 to 2028, okay, 5 year. Period. Economic growth, 17%. So these are very strong markets. And again, as fundamentals, this is what I want to see when I am picking a place to go and invest in single family houses and apartments. Because we want to see the population growing. We want to see economic growth because that will support better rents. And that's what will flow into my cash flow at the end of the day and help me create the gains, the equity gains that I want to see. There are a number of other markets as well. All good news. If you're looking at those Sun Belt markets, by the way, there was another report by Invesco also favoring these same regions, these same cities that we're talking about. Now, I want to jump over to multifamily in particular because that's a lot of people like to invest passively in apartments. I'm an active single family investor. I buy my rental houses. I get them renovated. I don't do the work. I hire that out. I manage that process, but then I manage those ongoing during my hold period. I do not use a property manager. But some people don't want to be that involved, and it doesn't have to be terribly involved. It is very passive. But apartments, if you want to invest passively, truly passively, that's the way to go. So let's look at multifamily housing. What is the outlook? And if you've been listening at all, you know that there've been some declines. The market has had some rough spots. Financing has dried up or had dried up quite a bit. The good news is that capital that is available to invest in apartments, that's coming back. Expectations there are very positive. There's been a lot of issues around supply. A lot of building began and just completed this year. And when there's supply, that's going to push rents down. But that infusion of supply is starting to wind down, especially in the Sun Belt. And industry experts, they say, remain bullish on demand for strong growth. Thanks again to the demographics, the jobs, etc., for the coming number of years. So supply will be waning, and I've heard this a lot. There no building starts. So there, even if they start today, it's going to take a number of years before that inventory then hits the market. So we have a leading edge there, where there will be more demand and rents will go up, just due to, again, a lack of inventory, just like we see on the single family side. So the outlook is good. Collier is another company. They had an outlook as well. Resilience and recovery, the future of CRE, commercial real estate, in 2025. And they do lending on apartments, but their U.S. national multifamily forecasts, they talk, for example, about vacancies. Occupancies have held up remarkably well, they say, given the number of, right, supply side stuff, the number of units that have come online. They think that's going to bottom. We're going to hit that bottom in terms of vacancies this year, this coming year, and that's going to recover. And as occupancy goes up, our NOI, our cash flow, those things improve. And they expect some rent growth to be stronger in the coming year as well. So good news for multifamily. More lending is coming online. Less supply side issues. Rents should be increasing. Again, this is all real estate is local, so keep that in mind as you think about the future. And remember what they said at the head of the PricewaterhouseCoopers report: we are on the cusp of the next upturn in the real estate cycle. Now is the time to be thinking about planning, laying the groundwork for the next couple of years of growth. So now's the time to plan. And coincidentally, yeah, we're at the end of the year. This is the time to start thinking about, what am I doing in the next year for my family? What are our plans? What are our goals? By the way, did you know very few Americans actually trust in their ability to make an investment plan? Right? Thinking about financial literacy, we're good at a lot of things. We are not good at that, or at least we don't think we are. We're pretty miserable. And we're going to talk about that actually in greater detail on next week's show. I want you to think about that. But today we need to set a plan for the future, for the coming year, an investment plan. Of course, we don't want to just plan. We're here now. You should take a moment, look back at the current year. How did you do? If you set goals for the year, and I hope you did, how did you perform? So this is a real estate investor radio show. We're going to focus on that angle. You know, I set health goals, family goals, things like that. But we're going to focus on the real estate investing side of things. How did you do as a real estate investor? Did you learn more about real estate than you knew at the start of the year? I think that's a good benchmark. You know, I've been doing this for over a dozen years. I am always learning stuff. I go out to the case studies. I learn something new about renovating an apartment, about managing a single family house, about new technologies that have come on. There's always something to learn. We talk about that on these shows quite a bit. Did you meet more people in the real estate space? More investors, more contractors? Did you do that thing that you talked about and buy that first rental house or invest in your first apartment syndication? Take a look at your goals. See how you did. If you missed any, ask yourself why. What could have changed the outcome? And that will help inform you when you lay the groundwork for the coming year. Just what is it that you want to achieve? All right, you can look at this from many different perspectives. We'll talk about a few. Put those goals to paper. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And so we are now looking forward, right? We talked about expectations from the professionals, right? The people that analyze the real estate markets for the coming year. And things are looking very, very positive for single family, for apartments. We talked a little bit about why, but for you to participate, you have to take action. You have to do something. And I personally find that setting goals around these things is extremely, extremely helpful. So let's talk from the real estate perspective. Let's talk about possible goals for the coming year. And at Lifestyles Unlimited on the radio show, we talk a lot about education and we talk about building your team, meeting new investors and contractors, vendors, people that will support you in this business. And I would set goals around that. You know, I've got a plumber, I need a backup plumber, and I want to back up to that backup. If I lose one of them somewhere, they go out of business, move away, whatever, I need to go find it. That needs to be a goal. It's a very concrete goal. So perhaps meeting new people in a nutshell, perhaps getting out to, let's say, fill in the blank number of real estate events per month. Is that one? Is that two? What is doable with your schedule? At a minimum, one, because you'll meet those people we just talked about. And you'll get inspired. You'll get inspired to take action. By the way, I always get inspired when I go out to the case study. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I just went this past couple weeks ago. If you're not in Dallas-Fort Worth, but you want to attend, we do these virtually as well. It's very easy to sign up, by the way. Now, if you go to lifestylesunlimited.com, there's a tab at the top that says case studies. Give that a look. There are a couple of videos. You can watch some of the past ones, but you can sign up and attend. Good place to go to get inspiration. Good place to go, by the way, to hear other people's goals. Typically, that's part of the conversation. Hey, here's what I did. Here's the house I did and numbers, et cetera. We really get into the numbers here. But eventually, hey, what are my goals? And for you, that may help help your discussion, your thoughts. And, you know, you might want to set goals around buying X number of houses this coming year, right? If you want to be a single family investor or investing in Y or N, whatever your variable is, number of apartment syndication, or maybe it's buying your own independent investment. You can buy your own apartments. You know, you may need to start smaller and scale, but you can set goals around that as well. So what is it you want to do? Very concretely in that asset class, think about those geographical bounds as well. We're in a lot of markets where we can support you, but I also want to think about the coming year from a different perspective. This is how I tend to approach this. I like to think about my cash flow, right? How much is coming in every month from my single family, from my passive apartment investments, and how do I want to grow that? How much cash flow? What do I need to grow? Or how much do I want to grow that by? And to do that, what will I invest in then? And also, how much do I want to then increase our net worth? So thinking about next week's show, we're going to talk about that financial literacy. And we're going to talk a little bit about the notion of a personal financial statement. I'll explain then what that means. But you do want to have one because that's your benchmark, okay? And so let's talk about setting goals around cash flow, about goals around building wealth. And remember that when you do this, these goals, you want to set SMART goals. And just a quick refresher here, SMART is an acronym. They need to be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, very important. You want to write them down. And I think that personal financial statement, right? That's your scorecard that helps you measure how am I performing to these goals. So you want to write these down, share them. If you want to be more accountable with those, share them with somebody close to you, a fellow investor, perhaps a good friend. And then don't wait till the end of the year, like we are at now, to review these. Do that quarterly. Even better would be monthly, right? Depends on how granular you get with those goals. You may have an overarching goal, right? My overarching goal is to match my household expenses with passive income. Okay. Now break that down into steps. If my household expenses are $4,000 and I know I can get on average $400 per month net income from a single family rental house, well, I need to acquire 10 of those. Now I'm going to look at my capital base and see, is that attainable? Do I have enough capital now to go out and buy 10 houses? We have a class on that, by the way, 10 houses in 10 months. So you may be able to do more than you realize. But when you set those goals, be sure they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And you can set these then around cash flow. You can set these around building wealth. And I do find it very helpful to hear what other people have as their goals. And I talk to a lot of investors and I hear a lot about what is on their horizon, what they're working on. You know, here on the show, it may be a guest that I get to interview. It may be listening to the other radio show hosts. I catch the podcasts all the time. You can find those also at lifestylesunlimited.com. See who Al Gordon is interviewing, or Mike Harrison, or Del Walmsley. And typically the question will come up, what are your short-term, what are your long-term goals? If you hear somebody that sounds kind of similar to me, he's doing that, he wants to do, I can do that too. I mentioned the case study, great place. The road trips, we go out on the single and the multifamily road trips, great places where you'll hear the presenter talk about their concrete goals. Lots of help there just within my network. And thinking back to recent conversations, there was one lady, she's got three single family houses. Her concrete goal is to double that, to go from 3 to 6. I would say that's specific. Isn't it? Whatever it is you want to do, I want you to sit down and put pen to paper and make those smart goals, because this will help you steer through the year. Revisit those every month, maybe more frequently, right? It depends on how granular you get. And ahead of the break, we were just talking about the notion of goals around cash flow. Typically, a lot of people start by setting their target is to create more income, to grow that income to where one or both spouses can retire, let's say. Well, you need to know what you're working towards. If you're, for example, if your monthly household expenses are $5,000 per month, that's the overarching goal that we're going to work towards. But we need to break this down. And if, let's say, $1,000 of that, I don't know, whatever the, maybe it's high, probably higher these days, but if, let's say $1,000 goes to a mortgage payment, well, that could be your more immediate goal. All right, I'm going to try to get to $1,000. How many houses do I need to meet that? Well, it depends. I told you earlier, cash flow tends to be somewhere between net cash flow that I'm retaining, somewhere between $200 and $600 per house per month. So maybe that's 5 houses, maybe that's 2 houses. It depends on what you're buying and where. It depends on the market. By the way, we talked about that. I see a lot higher cash flow in places like Georgia, Tennessee, where the taxes and the insurance are lower. So it depends on the market. You could set goals around replacing your income, by the way, and that may be an even bigger number, but start big and then break those down. And depending on how granular those are, you may need to revisit those more frequently, right? It could be other things, travel budget. I want to do more with my family. I want to go to Disney World. I want to go on that cruise, whatever that is. Maybe it's just creating the cash flow for something very concrete like that. Now, keep in mind, set realistic goals. What can you do with your capital base? What is realistic? If you're starting with, let's say, $50,000, that might be 2 houses. That might be 3 houses. You want to get educated in this space as well, so you understand the numbers and how you can go out and buy a house that's going to be worth $300,000 with only 10 or 15K out of pocket, maybe 20, maybe 30, right? And again, thinking about realistic goals, going back to our earlier conversation about location, about geography, give your current location some deep thought. Does it make sense where I live? A lot of people want to buy that first house nearby. You can. I don't know why you need to. If you build good processes from the outset, and we talk about and we teach those processes at Lifestyles Unlimited, you don't really need to be there. I love it when I go to a case study and I hear that member talking about that house they're presenting. They've never even seen it. So if you're in the coast, on the coast somewhere where it's just too expensive, rent per value ratio doesn't make sense, too expensive to buy, local legislation is not in your favor, well, target another location that has those metrics that do make sense. Look at the Sun Belt. So cash flow, goals, one direction you might go, but you might also say, hey, like the one gentleman I saw, that man, massive equity capture, you may want to set goals around building wealth. And here too, you need to have some basic understanding of your financial situation. Do you know your net worth? That personal financial statement will establish that if you do not. And then you can set goals around that. What is that percentage change I want to see in that net worth for the year, right? Or maybe it's some net number. I want to take it up 100K. I want to take it up $200,000, $500,000, $1 million. I think that's impossible. I see members do that all the time. If I can buy one house and add 50K in equity to my net worth, then I buy two, I'm at 100. I buy four, I'm at 200. It's amazing how quickly this goes. So think about that. If you're not so interested in the cash flow, we always want to see cash flow. But if you're more focused on the wealth side of the equation or equity, right, you can set goals around that as well. And that doesn't have to be houses. That can be apartments. What is my per passive investment in apartments? What is that capital gain that I need to see? If I have a total gain for the year, how many apartment investments? You get the point. Of course, you don't have to set goals around just the one or the other. I do not. I want to see my cash flow grow, and I want to see my equity grow as well. And the good news here, The good news here is you will inherently achieve both because we do make money multiple ways, 5 ways on our houses, 6 ways on apartments. Do not buy it if it doesn't cash flow. Bam, check the box. We got our cash flow, right? Everything else plays towards that wealth building aspect, the equity capture. We described that a little bit. Equity buildup because my residents pay down the mortgage, whether it's a house or apartments. Market appreciation. Real estate doubles in value every 20 years. That implies a 3.5% increase in value year after year. Now, unique to apartments, they enjoy that market appreciation, but unique to apartments is I can go in and force appreciation. And this is due to the way that apartments are valued. This is a topic for another day. And finally, there are tax advantages, right? Whether it's during my hold period, there are tax advantages that protect that cash flow for me. When it comes to my sale, there are tax advantages to shield or defer the taxes on the capital gains. And of course, if I just do a simple cash out refinance, that is not a taxable event, whether apartments or houses. And by the way, if you're planning, I think I want to do a couple of cash out refinances for the coming year. That is cash flow. That is cash flow. I would include that in my numbers. Equity, if you have a lot of equity, equity can always be converted into more cash flow. That's what we do. Buy one house, cash out the equity, get two more, cash out the equity, whether refi or sale, buy 5 more and just keep going. So you can set goals around both. And honestly, I typically set goals both around cash flow and building equity. So what we're talking about here is investing in residential real estate. The reports I was reading, I mentioned the PricewaterhouseCoopers, they're going to dive into all kinds of modalities, retail and industrial, etc. We focus squarely on two, single family and apartments. And that's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We teach you the how. How do I invest in those apartments? How do I invest in those rental houses? We don't focus on any of the other types of real estate. Why just these two? Well, it goes back to fundamentals. We talked a little bit about fundamentals at the start of the show. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. People need a place to live. That is not going to go away. This need and the subsequent demand for residential real estate, not going anywhere. By the way, I didn't talk about this. It goes into this in the various reports I've read, is the affordability issue right now. People that want to go out and buy their own personal house, it is a problem right now because the values are up. Interest rates are up, taxes and insurance are up, all the things are driving a lower affordability pretty much across the country. This points to greater interest in renting. It is cheaper in most markets for people to rent than to buy their personal house. So that just adds more to that demand for residential real estate. So with respect to cash flow and wealth goals, is one better than the other, houses or apartments? You know, cash flow, we've talked about this a lot. Houses tend to cash flow faster than apartments. I'm renovating one house rather than a 200-unit apartment. Apartments may have a value-add component that takes a little longer to stabilize. There might not be cash flow during that period, but then that gain may be much, much more magnified than I can do just on one house. Right now, we're still seeing pretty big gains in houses on the equity side. You can double your money, you know, right at the outset. So if equity is your goal, look at houses as well. Apartments are a bigger play. You can deploy, you know, more cash in one place, multiply those gains. But then you might ask yourself, is that the best approach? And back to what we said around smart goals and setting realistic goals, that's often a concern for people, is do I have enough capital to even do these things that you're talking about? And you're probably looking at your bank account and thinking, it's just not there. And that's one of the great things, is when you start to talk to other investors and hear what they've done to achieve their goals, you're going to learn that, well, they did have a house. Maybe they had that latent rental property because they got married. They kept the other house, rented it out, had a lot of equity, sold it, cashed it out. Maybe they have equity in their own house, did a cash out refinance. At these rates, are you crazy? Well, you have to think about the opportunity cost. What are you giving up by sitting on a ton of equity? What is your return on that equity? Give that some thought. And rates, hey, we'll see what they do in the coming year. That may give you a little more fodder for that approach. Retirement accounts, been there, done that. 401k gone, liquidated, tapped into that. You can do that too, you know? So if you're not sure where you might have some hidden liquidity, some hidden capital that you can tap into, this goes back to that personal financial statement. If you build that, you may find other sources in the process. And then what we did at the start of our journey, we sat down with a mentor and we looked at all these things and we talked about those goals, and they helped us set those goals early on in the process so that we could retire my wife and then myself as well. Mentors are huge. And that takes me back to Lifestyles Unlimited. We've been an education and mentoring group over three decades now. We can help you meet your goals. We can help you figure out what those even are. And there are lots of events that you can come out to in person or attend virtually so that you can meet other investors. You can find those contractors for your business and get on the road to financial freedom and retirement. And I want to go back to that PricewaterhouseCoopers statement at the beginning of there. It's 138 pages, a lot to read there, but they say it here, we're on the cusp of the next upturn in the real estate cycle. Now is the time to be thinking and planning, laying the groundwork for the next 2 to 3 years of growth. We'll help you with that as well. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com, check out the case study tab, listen to our past shows, register for the free workshop, and I'll talk to you in the new year.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.